96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Hampton High School is a white school, Mrs. Jackson.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm aware of that.
Virginia, still a segregated state.
Your Honor, you of all people should understand the importance of being first.
How's that, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, you were the first in your family to serve in the armed forces, U.S. Navy, the first to attend university.
What's the point?
I plan on being an engineer at NASA, but I can't do that without taking them classes at that all-white high school. And I can't change the color of my skin. So I have no choice but to be the first, which I can't do without you, sir. Your Honor, out of all the cases you're going to hear today, which one is going to matter 100 years from now? Which one is going to make you the first?
That's a scene from the hit movie Hidden Figures. The film tells the true story of three black women who played a critical role during the early days of America's manned space program. Now, tonight, we're talking about that and the trail those pioneering women blazed for black women scientists. My guests are Angela Mason. She's an engineer and mission manager with NASA. And Dr. Dana Williams, chair of the English department and a women's studies scholar here at Howard University. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum, WHUR, or at H. Fisher, WHUR. Dr. Williams and Angela Mason, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Let me start with you, Angela, because this wasn't just, you know, a movie. You have a personal connection to some of the women that were portrayed in this. Talk to me about that.
Yes, this movie is so personal to me. I actually lived with Mary Jackson for over a year when I first started my career. And I was trying to figure out how did that connection even happen. I went looking for old pictures because I love taking pictures. And I actually found a picture where Mary Jackson was actually at my college graduation, graduation dinner, I should say, when I graduated. So actually, I met Mary Jackson's pastor because his name was Reverend Hall, and he worked at Hampton University where I got my undergraduate degree.
And we'll let you slide. here at the real HU, but yeah. Please go right ahead.
Don't let us start it. So Reverend Hall was Mary Jackson's pastor, and I was a young student away from home. He gave me a little job at the church, you know, filing papers and receptionist, which he didn't really need, but I guess, you know, giving me a way to make some extra money. So Mary Jackson was a member of that church, and that's how the connection all started.
Mm-hmm. What was she like?
She was just such a sweet lady. Of course, she had already retired from NASA. She was, very sweet lady. They were, you know, they just took me in like their family. Actually, her husband, Levi Jackson, which we affectionately called, we called him Jack. He actually taught me how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just a sweet, loving family. I didn't get homesick because they just made me a part of their family.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me. Did you ever talk about, you know, your career plans and, you know, what she did at NASA and some of the things that we saw in the movie?
You know, actually, I didn't. You know, I knew she was a brilliant lady, you know, that retired from NASA and made a lot of contributions. But we didn't really talk about that. I just did my best, you know, as far as me being new at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
But another Hidden Figures character that I also know is Dr. Katherine Johnson and her husband, Jim Johnson, Lieutenant Colonel Jim Johnson, mm-hmm. retired. we all were involved in an organization called the National Technical Association, and we did a lot of STEM type events to try to encourage students underrepresented in the engineering, science, math, engine fields to participate. We did math contests. As a matter of fact, I started a math contest in Hampton, Virginia, that I don't even know if they're still doing it, but at least lasted over 16 years.
Wow. Okay.
And so we were really involved. We also had student symposiums, giving college students an opportunity to present their work. Mm-hmm. We did SAT tutorials. So we were really doing a lot of STEM activities before STEM became a really popular acronym as it is today.
Talk to me about, obviously, I'm sure you've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it? What impacted you the most when you kind of watched, not only, as a scientist, but also as a black woman in a field that still is, predominantly the purview of white men?
There's a lot. That movie was touching in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really impacted me is that Mary Jackson was such a humble lady. I didn't even know that she was the first African-American engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she was an engineer, but I didn't realize that she was the first, that she really was the one who broke that barrier there. But, it was just awesome just how those ladies were very determined, and also some of their experiences. I had to go through some of those experiences as well, but of course not at the level that they had to, because mm-hmm. they were the trailblazers. Mm-hmm. But, overall, it was just the whole movie was, just awesome.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but I also want to ask, Dr. Williams, from your perspective, we have seen, black women blaze trails in so many fields, but it seems that, this is a story that is long overdue, and we just haven't heard so much. What does this story and these three women and their story, what does this mean for young black women in the science field?
I think the story is a really good example of the conundrum of how incredibly remarkable yet common black women are, or how common it is for black women to be remarkable.
Hmm.
So as Angela was talking about Mary being very humble and not even knowing that she had blazed all of these trails, in part it's because this was just everyday life for black women, particularly black women who came out of HBCUs, who, again, were nurturers. So the fact that family took you in without any hesitancy and any difficulty is just really emblematic of the way that they were raised. So what I hope that young women and young African-Americans and other minorities in a general sense get out of the movie is that it's really commonplace for people to be exceptional or to be excellent, that excellence is a mark that everyone can aspire to, and that there are indeed structural barriers that may present themselves. But there is also that possibility of overcoming those barriers as well, with both the commitment to excellence, because even if, let's say, if Katherine Johnson had just been given, quote unquote, opportunity,
mm-hmm.
she still had to be excellent. Mm-hmm. Had she not been excellent, the opportunity itself would not have only not presented itself, but it wouldn't have mattered for her to have that opportunity. So I hope that students will see that excellence has these rewards in the end.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Hidden Figures movie and the trail that the pioneering women blaze for black women scientists. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Cooper, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Ms. Cooper?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, I wanted to comment on the subject because those women were so remarkable, and it really, I had gone through something similar, but of course years later, and I just want to encourage African-American women to not allow barriers to stop them, because I can remember when I was in undergraduate studies, my instructors tried to encourage me to pursue a four-year degree in data entry rather than pursue computer management science. I went from the School of Engineering to the School of Computer Science, and from the School of Computer Science to Computer Management Science. And throughout my venue of getting my four-year bachelor's degree, I was never encouraged to pursue that avenue. Instead, they wanted to put me on a path towards secretarial data entry. And actually said to me, well, why would I want to waste my parents' hard-earned money for me to go into a field in which I would not be able to gain any employment? Needless to say, I completed that bachelor's of science degree in computer management science with an emphasis in systems development, and went on to complete an MBA in information technology, and went on to start my own company in which I did fiber optic wiring and cabling for the FedEx Stadium and what is now the Verizon Center, and went on to win contracts with the Federal Communications Systems doing digital television, DTV.
Well, and Ms. Cooper, if I may, because we've got some other phone calls we want to get to, but I think that you are illustrative of, you know, the kind of women that are, you know, that are out there. And as Dr. Williams said, that it is so common for them to be extraordinary. And certainly we salute you. And so thank you for sharing your experience.
You. And keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Did you want to make a comment, Angela?
I really commend Mrs. Cooper's accomplishments that she just presented. But I know that it is very true that a lot of the students aren't really encouraged to take more math and science. And that's one of my goals is to do, you know, I every opportunity that I get to do outreach to encourage the young people is very important, you know, because they really don't realize that that's an option for them. Some don't.
And I want to talk to you a little bit more about that also, because, you know, based on what Ms. Cooper was just sharing and your title, all, you know, also, you know, my VCR is still blinking 12. Okay, so, you know, for me, you know, certainly not my bailiwick, but I am amazed at the kind of work that you and your peers do. When did you decide that you wanted to be, dare I say, a rocket scientist?
Well, you know, actually, I didn't really want to be an engineer. I kind of stumbled into engineering, but I loved math. Mm-hmm. And that started from when I was, I believe, in the sixth grade, I won a math contest. And that just excited me. And I just, from then on, I just loved math. And that's where it all began. I went to Howard Career Center, which is in Wilmington, Delaware. It's now called Howard High School of Technology. And you can take your college prep courses, say, during the morning, and then in the evening you pick a field, and I picked data processing.
But was there an aha moment for you that said, instead of doing something that may have been considered, you know, and perhaps even inappropriately so, a woman's career path to do this?
Well, I think the aha moment for me was when I was at Hampton studying mathematics and computer science. I met Dr. Woodrow Whitlow, and he actually is a retired NASA associate administrator. He retired maybe two years ago. He actually taught at Hampton University. He taught physics, and I remember running in to ask him a question, a physics question, and I only had 5 minutes. You know, can you answer this question for me? And he teases me about that even today. And he gave me some information about the National Technical Association. The professional chapter was having a student symposium for college students. Mm-hmm. And at the Chamberlain Hotel in Hampton, Virginia. And I went. And it was students from many HBCUs and other colleges that attended that was also majoring in engineering, math, and science. And I never saw that before, so that really kind of motivated me. And from there, I learned about the student chapter of the National Technical Association and became a student president.
Hold your point. I'm going to let you finish. We're also going to go back to the phone lines. Gloria calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you. Tanya from Maryland, we're also going to talk to you. We're talking about the movie Hidden Figures and also the the trail that those incredible women blaze for modern black women scientists. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay on the phone. Hang on. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is in for Jeff Brown. And he's next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.